Hey, how about them tops, son?
All day,
SEC boys.
SEC, they post the SEC. Where's the other baby?
You're listening to the Red Out Podcast.
Welcome into another Red Out Podcast. Devin here, Matt, and we've got a lot of news to talk about today. We've got Combine Talk, Austin Reed and Malachi Corley. Trying to figure out where they may go in the draft. It's kind of interesting to think about that. Softball news, baseball news, Lady Topper news, and men's basketball. I guess at the top of the list, Matt, let's talk about the Combine. So what did you think?
Yeah, so we kind of talked about Corley last week some. So just kind of updating there. I mean, he hasn't done anything to kind of screw up where he's looking to project. So that's kind of his task right now. It's just like no bad news because he pretty much projects as like a late second round pick. So obviously that means he, you know, somebody could try to reach for him maybe in the first round, probably not. But typically in most, the way that the draft should play out, he should end up in maybe the second round. Really the lowest that he could possibly end up is the third round. Really going forward, it just kind of depends on how he does at pro day. He and Austin both are kind of electing to really show out on pro day and not do a ton at the combine. They did some interviews and stuff. Austin ran the 40, but really they didn't do much at the combine, but kind of show up and say, hey. So, Austin ran a decent 40, which is a good plus for him. I mean, we were talking about this before we came on. You know, Brandon Dowdy ran like a 5.1 or some outrageously terrible 40 time that really damaged his draft stock and almost got him undrafted just because he was so so slow. But he had so much else going for him that he was still able to be drafted. But for Austin, he needed a good 40 time to just kind of show people that he is athletic and everything. He projects as kind of a maybe seventh round, maybe type of pick, really probably undrafted free agent. And he should get kind of his pick of where he wants to go. But,
you know, undrafted free agent isn't bad though, like we said.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Like, we talked about it last week. Undrafted free agents, they get the carpet rolled out for them. You know, everything is nice. You know, they're going to show you the best time. That is probably, if he's not drafted, that's a best case scenario for Austin Reed. Malachi Corley, I believe we said last week and maybe the week before, I don't remember, but, you know, it was possibly second to third round. You know, we'll have to see. Are you still thinking that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like one thing to certainly clear up is he's going to get drafted. Like he's a high end, like legitimate prospect that people think he could be a really good receiver in the league. So he's going to get drafted somewhere, barring complete catastrophe like injury or something. And he may even if he was injured, may possibly still be. He's one of those, like, surefire, he's getting drafted. We just don't know where. I would say the lowest that he could possibly, like right now, the lowest that he could possibly go, given what we know, would be like maybe the fourth round, if like in a disaster scenario. But he really should be drafted in the first three rounds. Pretty much consensus, there's almost no way he's not drafted in the first three rounds from what we know so far.
And let me see.
Pardon the coughs from Matt.
Yes, Matt's got the clap. So Thursday, April 25th, 2024, through Saturday, April 27th, 2024 is draft day. Definitely, stick around. Talrac will update you what happens to those guys. As far as summer schedule, we're going to try and do at least an episode a month. At least once a month, or, you know, watch our social medias. We'll try and do a short or something to let you know as far as what's going on Western sports-wise, because it's kind of dead in the summer, truth be told. And it's hard to update stuff besides recruiting and, The pot and the thing that always kills me with summer news is it's like you basically are postulating everything. Well, this could happen, or this could happen, or this could happen. Well,
we also have lives, so some other podcasts may have plenty of free time to just do whatever they feel like.
They don't do anything anyway, so you know, I mean, at least Matt will have time to get the Elmo colored behind his head.
Are you making fun of my daughter's artwork?
Nope, because my daughter does the same thing. She'll take a crayon and go swipe, swipe, and that's done. Here you go, Dad. Put it on the fridge, and you're like, I don't want to be an art critic, but a black crayon up and down does not make that art, but okay. But yeah.
At least NFL you know it was Elmo. Yes. I'm impressed that you knew it was Elmo. I had somebody say it was Cookie Monster. I'm like, no, it's not freaking Cookie Monster. Know your Sesame Street characters. It's very upsetting. Oh my goodness.
There we go. Yes, exactly. What are you people thinking? So quick softball news. So Western had a little event, we'll say, this weekend. They were supposed to play Dayton on Friday. That got canceled, but they ended up playing Dayton Saturday and beat them 2-0. Then Western played Northern Illinois on Saturday as well, beat them 5-1. And then on Sunday, Western beat Northern Illinois 10-2 in five innings and then lost to Southern Illinois Salukis 0-2 after eight innings. And then yesterday, the 5th, Western was supposed to play Indiana, and that game was postponed. So we'll see how that gets updated.
Yeah, interesting little thing. It looks like we were up 2-0 in the third, but it's considered, quote-unquote, no contest. So, I mean, we were winning, but it doesn't count until, I guess, you get to – usually it's until you get to five innings. So I assume it just doesn't count, but we were beating Indiana.
Well, hey, I'm sure the Big Ten, we're going to change that around. Western is going to have their first conference series this weekend for the Lady Toppers. Actually, I'm being goofy. I've got these to show you all real quick, so I will do these as we're going. Baseball too.
One thing I just noticed. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good. Well, I was just going to say, these are the softball scores. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I noticed that we play New Mexico State on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It looks like they actually have softball on the radio here in Bowling Green on 91.5. So
that's what I've got.
Yeah. Okay, it's right there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know where is the Varsity Network. Varsity Network Radio. How do people listen to that? Do you have any idea?
I believe you have to pay a subscription for it. You can listen on if it's on the radio or if they have a audio feed, it will be on the WKU Sports app. So if there's radio, you can always check out the WKU Sports app. I always do that. I always have that available in case like something's screwing up for basketball or baseball or whatever I want to listen. I've got the WKU Sports app that I can always listen to. So
yes, Western has got a series with New Mexico State. If you're in that area of the Las Cruces, whatever. If you're in that area,
Las Cruces, bud.
There you go. If you're in that area, go check out the game. If you're not, you can listen on 91.5 FM Crux for all the updates on that. And then, of course, Western is supposed to play EKU next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. So we'll update you all on that score as well. Now, baseball news. One more slide back. Let me stop sharing that, and let's find my baseball. Baseball actually did fairly well. It was a little concerning. Baseball had a little hiccup against West Virginia on last Friday and lost 0-4. But then, and Western lost Saturday morning to West Virginia 3-8, and then we won 7-6. And then on Sunday, we beat them again 4-3. Now, on the 5th, as in yesterday, or whenever you're listening to this, it'd be Tuesday, WKU's game versus Bellarmine was postponed. I assume that's due to weather, because we did have some storms come through the Louisville area at that time. And then baseball will be playing Milwaukee. They're going to have a series this weekend with Milwaukee. That's at home at Nick Dennis Field. And then, and of course, all of those are going to be on 102.7 ESPN Radio. And then next Tuesday, Western will be playing Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee. So if you want to have a nice little trip down to Austin Peay and watch a baseball game, go for it.
They got a Golden Corral over.
They got a Golden Corral. Oh, my goodness. I can't stand Golden Corral, truth be told. Everything tastes the same to me. I just can't stand it. Just tastes, you're like, fried chicken tastes like fried chicken. And then the fried other thing tastes like fried other thing. And then this tastes like something else that tastes like fried chicken. Okay, let's go on to something else. So, Western girls basketball had a fairly rough time in the last week.
Oh,
they've actually had a rough time the past several weeks, actually. But Western played La Tech and lost 45-41. That sounds like a football score.
Yep, it looked like a football game. a lot of tackles. Yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, they continue to struggle. You know, this, of course, we didn't mention the FIU one yet that was this Saturday, but I mean, it kind of got my hopes up. Looked like we had some offense, and then the same thing happened where they just kind of, they were up 16 in the second half and somehow found a way to lose. La Tech hits a three with 10 seconds left and takes the lead. And then we look like we have no clue what we're doing in the last possession and ended up losing by three. The La Tech game, I mean, you know, our defense has been solid enough the last little bit. Like, we haven't allowed more than we've allowed in the 70s a few times in the last few games. But since Acacia Hayes went down February 3rd, you know, we haven't allowed more than like 73. So like the defense has been good enough to function. It's just the offense has not scored 70. And before Acacia went down, I think I was looking at it, it was like 9 out of 22 games that we scored over 70 points. And they've had zero since she was out. So it's a huge offensive blow to not have her around. You know, what's frustrating is, you know, with the La Tech game, I mean, obviously 45-41, like you held them to what you needed to defensively. They just couldn't do anything offensively at all.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to watch. If I look back and let's see, I feel like basically we were kind of hanging around, but we, you know, we never were able to really do anything to take control of the La Tech game. It was back and forth. Generally, La Tech was in charge. It was tied at halftime.
I mean, we did have less turnovers than La Tech. We had six less. They had 20, where we had 14. And then another point that I would say is we did have more fouls, which did not help us in the long run. I mean, and that's gonna, and when they're a team is shooting better on their free throw percentage than, you know, you are, I mean, that's 3 points right there.
Yeah.
So that's not going to help you. Then
I remembered this wrong a little bit. La Tech, Western was up on La Tech 9 at the end of the third quarter. So Western had actually kind of taken control of the game in the third. Yeah. And once again, was especially in like a 30-40 point kind of game, a 9-point lead is huge. And so, I mean, I think it was 34-25 at one point. And you can see the score there. I mean, obviously, La Tech scored 20 and we scored 7 to finish the game. I think we went like 1 for 20 in the fourth quarter and didn't shoot a free throw. You're not going to win very many games doing that. So it was just like, it's just very frustrating. Like they keep finding ways to lose instead of finding ways to win. You know, then you follow up the La Tech game with a game at home. They finally look like they belong. Like they've figured out how they're going to play, you know, without Acacia, which by the way, Acacia could come back potentially. We don't know, but it seems like her recovery's been doing, she's been doing pretty well with her recovery. So she might be back during conference tournament, but regardless, they look like, for 37 minutes of that FIU game, they look like the better team. And FIU is, you know, second or third in Conference USA is what they're going to end up. So good team. And we look like the much better team, had a 16-point lead on them and just completely, you know, the last couple minutes just threw the ball away like 4 or 5 times. Not even like giving ourselves a chance to throw up a terrible basket, like just completely threw it away several times in a row. And it was just, now you can see there, we only had 19 turnovers. Well, 4 or 5 of that was at the very end of the game in the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
So if you take that into account, like it would have been a respectable, you know, outcome in terms of turnovers, but just all about a quarter of the turnovers came in the last like 2 minutes.
And yeah, I mean, of course we had 3 more fouls than they did too. So that's, you know, that's 3 opportunities right there. That's 3 extra points. That's tied game. That's overtime. And that's, and overtime with FIU, with the way FIU's been playing this season, is a really good thing. I mean, nobody ever wants to go into overtime, but, you know, overtime would at least show me, hey, we are making strides towards, you know, a better team here, you know, and this team has, as we were talking earlier, kind of before the show started, you know, they've lost, you know, we've lost 5 in a row. The last one we had was against Jacksonville State. And then before that, we'd beat La Tech, and then we had 3 losses. I mean, we've had, since we've started conference play, which was back, first game against Liberty, that game was January 6th. You know, we've lost so many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. I mean, you take 8 games and push them in the other column, you know, we're doing really well. But this team right now is got, you know, they're looking at a 500 season right now. And, I mean, technically, unless we win a game in – if we win against Liberty and maybe one more in conference play, you know, we finish positive. If we lose to Liberty – go to conference play and lose again, we're negative. We're under 500. And to me, that is a horrible season.
Well, especially given like how they looked at the beginning. We talked about this a whole bunch, so I don't want to just keep saying the same thing over and over again. But like this season started looking, and even finishing last year, finishing second or third in conference and making it to the conference championship. Even though we got fairly dominated by middle, it wasn't a complete disaster. Like, there was hope. You know, we held our own. We fought, whatever. We lost a few pieces. But we brought back a core. And then you come into this season, and things look like, okay, this, we could actually be a decent team here. We could be, you know, competing for a championship. And then you come into conference play and you back it up and you go, you start 4-1 against quality teams. And then you just like, I mean, it just started melting and it didn't make any sense. Like there was no rhyme or reason to why they went from, winning 2/3 of their games to winning 20% of their games the last 10 games. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So we're sitting at, you know, 500 now. It's 15-15 record overall and the losing record in conference. But this team had so much potential, and now it's like, God, I don't even know if we're going to make it. I mean, crap, if we lose to Liberty and then have some bad luck, we can end up the 8 seed playing on Tuesday.
Oh my God.
In an 8-9 matchup. Yeah. So it's possible. Like, there have to be like five out of six things happen for WKU to end up the eight. But it could happen. And
I mean,
it's crazy.
Completely.
Yeah.
That's
a disaster. And I can't explain it. I don't know what the explanation is.
So upcoming games for the Lady Toppers, they've got Liberty. And of course this game is in Diddle Arena. So we need the Lady Tops to finish strong. That game is going to be on the 9th, which I believe is Saturday. Is that right?
Yes.
That's a 3 PM Eastern, 2 PM Central. You know, go support the Lady Tops. That game is on ESPN Plus because we need the Lady Tops to finish strong, so that they can do really well. Now, Conference USA tournament, Matt, of course, in my own little notes here, I put, you know, outlook not too hot. But what are you thinking as far as Conference USA?
Well, tournament? I mean, I would like to think that we have a chance to at least win a game or something. When I started looking at going to Huntsville in January, I was thinking like, one of these two teams is going to make the championship game, and hopefully one of them is going to win it. That's what I was thinking when I started kind of looking at booking the trip down to Huntsville. Well, now I'm not even sure really with either of them if we're definitely going to win a game or even make the championship in either one. The girls, you know, I'd love to say that they could, but now, let's say they beat Liberty. They end up in the 4 or 5 seed. That means they play middle in the semifinals, most likely. And that's probably about going to be all she wrote.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we end up the 6 or 7 seed, we avoid middle, but then that means we play either Liberty or FIU in the first game. So you're probably not really – and then you have to play the other one the game after. So I mean, you're really not – looking at much of a chance to do anything. And of course, if you end up the 8-9, then you play middle in the quarters. So, yeah, it's just, I'd love to say that they have a chance. I will say this, though. If Acacia is back, I mean, Western was playing like one of the better teams in Conference USA. Now, can she come back and drop in 20, 25 a game and really make a difference? I don't think she could probably immediately do that. But she could help psychologically and just kind of helping the Lady Toppers believe. But the thing is that they are good enough. They showed against FIU that they can do something. They just have to finish it, and they just didn't against FIU, and they haven't in the last month. So they're going to have a month and a half. So they're going to have to overcome that. But, like, in theory, I mean, they could make a run. You know, you only have to win 3 games, so it's not like it's this outrageous task for them, but it's just – it doesn't seem very positive.
Well, I mean, especially with the way that things have gone so far this season for the Lady Tops, you know, it would be different if Lady Tops had, you know, had a couple slip-ups and won the majority of their games, especially conference games. But it's almost like they melt down. And I don't know what the issue is with it or how things are working out that way, but they do seem to have some kind of meltdown, whether it's a maturity issue or what. I know we kind of go back to that on some things, but we are dealing with young athletes who, you know, young ladies who, for whatever reason, are, you know, maybe don't have the maturity to handle playing, you know, having the maturity to overcome certain things in this instance, I'll say. Will that change? I hope so. It depends on leadership, and we'll just have to see how things progress in the off season.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about kind of the meltdown type of thing. I'm just looking just real quick and then we can move on. 3 out of the last 5 games, the Tops have had, the La Tech game, they had a 9-point lead. In 2 other games, they had double-digit leads and melted them down to lose. So 3 out of the last 5 games, they should have won, basically. And then if you win those 3 games, you're completely looking at everything different. You're probably in the running for the 3 seed or so. and then you're feeling a little more positive about things. But they've found ways to lose instead of win the last little bit. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean it's very frustrating, and you know, it's just something that either they'll have to work on in the off season, or what. I am positive for Western to do well in Conference USA's tournament, but I don't see it. I hate to be like that, but
I mean, it is what it
it
is.
has to take a lot. It is. It's a hard fact. Now, are they going to lose the first game? I don't know. I would say so, but I don't want. If I had to put money on it, I wouldn't. But
it depends on who they get.
Exactly.
You know? Like, for example,
we'll
they've.
See.
Yeah, for sure.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, just, I mean, they've, you know, like if they end up the sixth seed and they play like a Liberty or something, you know, then, I mean, they've already beaten Liberty before this year. You might take some confidence from that. You know, FIU, whatever. I mean, you had 37 minutes of really good basketball before you kind of handed them the game. So, I mean, they can certainly, they're capable. They have the talent. They have several players that can drop 20, 25 points. So I would certainly not count them out in the short term. I just don't trust them to win three in a row.
Excuse me. So if you were a degenerate gambler, you definitely wouldn't want to put money there, huh?
Yeah, maybe not.
So men's basketball.
If you're a degenerate gambler, you can't help it, though, right?
Touche. Which it doesn't sound like a bad bet then. So Western men's basketball. You know, a lot of times this season, the men's basketball has been the opposite side of the coin from the Lady Toppers, where the Lady Toppers would struggle, the men would you know, overcome their issues. But that is not the case for this past week. And it's kind of frustrating. But here we go. I got a couple stats for you real quick. So Western played La Tech, lost 90-84. You know, of course it was at home, right? That was it at home.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the girls were in Ruston. I always get it switched in my head. I don't know why. But, you know, La Tech basically dominated from about midway in the first. You know, the guys kind of came back a little bit there towards the end, but, you know, when you shoot 55% from 3-point land, it's hard to kind of hold on and do well.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts, bud?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I would say that WKU has struggled with, especially since Jalen Jackson went down, was defense. I mean, giving up 90 points to La Tech, you know, the FIU game as well, you know, it was in the 80s. They've had several games. Like the previous FIU game, they needed 105. you know, FIU had 91. Western won 105 to 91. I mean, there was the UTEP game that was 93-87. Like, Western's defense, like one thing about the high pace is like you end up having to keep up with your own pace. And if you can't, and the other team is able to make some shots, you could really be in trouble. The fact that WKU doesn't have any lockdown defender that you can just put on anybody, it doesn't matter what the matchup is, you know that guy's going to be taken care of. Western doesn't have anybody like that. And so you have some guys that are decent in certain matchups that can shut down. Like we've seen Lander shut some people down. We've seen Newman do a good job at times, but then there's also the other games where they just look terrible against certain players that they go up against. And so it's just, it's a major issue that will, if WKU doesn't win the conference championship, it's going to be because they don't play consistent defense. You know, and they have lapses on both sides of the ball for extended periods of time. Like I said this on Facebook, and somebody keeps saying, like, oh, well, you can't expect them to play 40 minutes. Well, no, I'm
That's
not
kind
saying that
of part
they
of the game.
right. But excuse me, I'm sorry. But I mean, okay, yes, like you can't expect, 21-year-olds to be able to focus for 40 straight minutes completely that they never make a mistake. That's not the standard. But like when they completely fall asleep and you have 23-point meltdowns, when you have several double-digit leads that you lost early in the year and later, that tells me that there's a little bit of a consistency problem game to game and half to half. I mean, it's well documented. We know that Western has taken halves off this year and still found ways to win. And occasionally they get bit. Well, against La Tech, they allowed La Tech's offense and especially their 3-point shooting to go crazy. They shot 55% from three. And that was really your difference in the game was their shooting and especially their outside shooting. Everything else, Western was fairly even in. Like you could nitpick at some extra free throws and, losing the rebound battle and stuff like that. But like ultimately, it was down to the fact that in the first half, they allowed them to shoot lights out, and then you didn't have the ability to come back in the second half enough to be able to overcome a really good team.
Yeah, it's just looking at stats, La Tech did everything right. I mean, it's hard to beat somebody who shoots over half, makes half over half of their threes.
Exactly.
So I mean, and they're shooting literally 2%, less than 2%. Basically every other shot they threw up anywhere on the court, they were hitting. Now Western was shooting a little bit out of 4 out of 10-ish, but it's hard to beat that. And when everything else is the same, you had about the same amount of fouls, you had about the same amount of rebounds, you had about the same amount of turnovers. The only thing is La Tech had more free throws, and they hit more free throws, and that's hard to compete with. You can't do that. Now, FIU, just real quick here, Western, of course, I highlighted the 33.3%. You hit 1 out of 3 threes and the other team's hitting half their threes. Like, I'm almost blaming the defense. If this is 2 games in a row where we're having issues like this, something's up. What do you think?
I mean, it's here's the thing. FIU has 10 wins. Okay. They're 10 and 19. Okay. If you're a team that is trying to compete for a championship that wants to be serious at all
Cereal.
about winning a championship, you can't lose to a team that you should absolutely beat late in the season. And you certainly shouldn't look like you don't really care to be there. Like that's what's concerning to me, is it seemed like just kind of a lackadaisical, like, oh well type of effort.
We're here.
And FIU looked like they wanted to be there. They were engaged. They were the ones fired up. They were the ones screaming every time they made a basket. Like there's something to be said for how engaged they were. It was their senior night. They were all fired up. They had a bunch of seniors. Their big center that usually seems pretty useless. He's not completely useless. He's a decent player, but he's not like an elite center. Well, he went and had, I don't remember how, I think he had like 17, 18 points. You can't let guys do that, or you can't not match their energy. Like he had, okay, he didn't have as much as I thought, but, I thought for sure he had more than that. But he had 3 blocks. I thought he scored way more, but he only scored 6 points. But he had 3 blocks. He was a big presence. And they had another guy that came off the bench, scored 15. Javonte Hawkins is a senior. He's their sharpshooter. They were without their point guard. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable to show up and them be down. They're down 3 starters. They've had 2 other injuries. And you show up, and yeah, it's on the road and all that stuff. And they're plenty talented, but you allowed them to get a foothold. You allowed them have momentum and allow them to have the lead, and then you had to claw back to even have a chance to try to win it at the end, and you just didn't. We shouldn't have been in that position to be down. It should have been us with the lead, and then they should have been trying to claw back. And instead, we were trying to claw back the whole second half and didn't have enough in the tank to be able to do it. And that's what's frustrating, especially after losing two other games and slipping at the end of the year. And that's the effort you come out with the second to last game of the year. Like, I don't care that it's on the road or whatever, or it's their senior night, or it's a team that's only got 9 wins. Like, you better come out looking like you're on a mission, or it just tells everybody that we have our issues. And I think that's
– I agree. I mean, I think basketball and, you know, other sports in particular are definitely like this in the fact that you can never take a team for granted. You know, you have to come out every night as if you are playing the top team. You know, you do not take anybody for granted, because if you do, you're going to get beat. You know, you cannot underestimate anybody, or, you know, you have to do, you know, you have to play your best. And honestly, like, at this point in the season, I am fine if Western would beat somebody by 50 points. If we beat Liberty by 50 points going into Conference USA tournament, like, yeah, people are going to be like, well, they ran up the score. Yeah, they did, but they're playing to themselves. You know, they're playing to show this is what's going to happen in conference tournament. I have to play better than you because I expect to go further than you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how Matt feels, but how do you feel as far as Coach Lutz's first season?
Well, overall, I mean, I will say that 3 losses in a row at the end of the year taints some of the greatness of the season.
Yeah.
19-6 versus 19-9 is a big difference.
Yeah.
It's still a quality season that we still should get to 20 plus wins.
Yeah.
Which was kind of the idea when you head into the season, like, come on, let's get to 20 wins. We have a pretty weak out of conference schedule. Conference USA should be manageable, that we can find, you know, a way to go 500 in conference or more, you know, and that's what it's going to end up being. So in terms of like how he's done overall, sure, it's been fine, but it's a definite disappointment to end the season, especially, you know, you go to middle, and you spot them several large leads, and then you come back, you know, and then La Tech, you know, you make every effort to sell out Diddle and all that stuff, and they, you know, they had a nice crowd.
Every effort.
Well, you know, they didn't have ladies of the night out there trying to attract everybody into the stadium.
Hey, you want to come to the Tops game?
I'll take off my tops for you. Anyway.
I'll go if you keep it on. Please keep it on.
Thanks, Grandma. I'll see you at home. But, geez, yeah, she never knows when to hang it up. Anyway.
Gosh. Yeah. Who could keep track after that thought?
Yeah. And then FIU, you know, it's frustrating. It's two teams, two of the last three games. Like, La Tech was understandable. It was predictable that you could possibly lose that game. Okay. What about middle and FIU? Middle, you spot them tons of points, you give up over 50% shooting. You know, then La Tech, okay, they were the better team, but you gave up 55% three-point shooting. And then FIU, same thing. You give up a ton of threes against a team that was missing their point guard and their guy that gets all their steals and all that, like the number one stealer in the whole country was out for FIU. I mean, that's a big factor. guy scores double digit points a game, whatever, and you still freaking lose anyway. It's just, you know, it's just, it's disheartening.
I don't necessarily blame the coach for that. I think he's put these guys in a really good position considering the, you know, Western is essentially third in Conference USA right now, and this is his first season.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and the thing is like, we're not hearing anything about toxic locker rooms, any issues like that. Nobody's like, he can't do the workouts, you know, stuff like that, that came up at the end of last season when we were all kind of looking around going, really? But, you know, looking at Liberty right now, the ESPN intern has got it at 84.6% in favor of Liberty. Now that is going to be at Liberty, at the Liberty Bibberty Bowl, Liberty Bibberty Arena. So, and that game is on conference on ESPN Plus. If you can't make it to Lynchburg, Virginia, you know, Western is averaging about 80 points per game, 74 points against, you know, shooting around 46%, 40 rebounds, 13 assists, 3 blocks, 7.2 steals, and we've got a 3-loss streak. And Liberty is actually, what's funny is they're averaging 74 points per game, which is about what we have against us. Mm-hmm. And in points against, they're getting 64. So that could average out. Hypothetically, you know, things happen, but in a very, very close, you know, 71, 75 point game, you know, to finish out, you know, they do a lot of things similar as far as on paper, you know, with us. They've actually got two losses too. So, you know, this could be a very interesting way to finish up. And hypothetically, Matt, if we lose this game going into Conference USA tournament time, where do we stand on in the conference seeding?
Yeah, so let me pull that up. But basically,
we're looking at a 5, right?
It's possible, yes. Now, Liberty has, I think it's a 4. I think we're at a 3 okay. or 4 no matter what, because Liberty lost. If Liberty had won against who did they play last time? They played middle, actually. Well, either way, it would have been a 4. So Liberty lost, so they're 6-9. Western's 8-7. There's only one game left, so that Liberty cannot catch WKU. MTSU could catch Western if they beat La Tech and Western beats or Western loses to Liberty.
Okay.
So, and that depends on tiebreakers. It really does depend on who ends up at what seed, which is what the tiebreaker would be between Western and Middle, because Western split with Middle. They have the same records. They would have the same records against Sam Houston, La Tech, Liberty, and maybe some other teams. So it really would possibly be very close who would get the tiebreaker between Western and Middle. But Middle needs to beat La Tech at La Tech. So that's kind of a huge
ask
for them. I mean, they're, you know, you talk about the ESPN interns. Well, the ESPN interns like La Tech to the tune of, I'm not even looking at it yet, but I bet you, yeah, 97.2%. So,
you know, there's a lot of things in life. If you told me I had a 97.2% chance of winning the lottery, I'm going to the gas station to get me a ticket right now. So, yeah, I'm just saying.
Absolutely. But, yeah, 2.8% chance to beat La Tech. That's a little higher than that. But, I mean, that's a big ask. And then you still could have Western finish ahead of them, depending on the tiebreakers of who else finishes in what spot. Mm-hmm. So Western is likely to answer your question. Western is likely the 3 seed, regardless. But I think the bigger picture, like, I don't even care about the seed, honestly. Like, the top 2 teams are about equal, you know, Sam Houston versus La Tech. So you're going to have to face one of them in the semis either way, whether you're the 3 or the 4. To me, the main thing is, have some momentum coming into tournament. Win this last game. Have a good performance. feel good about yourselves, whatever. And even if we lose, like if if Liberty plays lights out, we play lights out, and it's a great game, and you feel like, okay, we're playing good basketball. Yeah, it sucks to have a 4-game losing streak, but you feel better about yourself than if we just get blown out by 40. You know? So
yeah. Well, I'll say, and I'm sure you can agree with this, the close losses are the worst losses.
Yeah.
If you lose by 1 or 2 points, you might as well get kicked in the gut, man. So when Western, and I don't know, I'm hoping if we beat Liberty, maybe it'll give us a little bit of confidence and swagger so that we can go into Conference USA's tournament, with a chip on our shoulder saying, yeah, these guys ain't got nothing on us. Whereas if we lose to Liberty, maybe it has an effect where they come in and they're mad and we're going to beat this, we're going to beat these guys, yada, yada, yada. But it also could have that detriment of, oh man, we lost. We're just going to keep losing, and you're just hoping that mindset's not kicking in. But, and that's coaching. We guys got to make sure these guys stay up on it and stay very positive about things, especially in conference time. So,
yeah. I mean, I definitely have way more confidence in Lutz than I do Greg Collins in terms of being able to navigate this. I mean, one thing is that Lutz has done it before. He did it with the team that had a 500 record in conference and ended up winning a conference championship. And he did it with a team that had, I think they were the 2 or the 3 seed, but they weren't the favorite.
Yeah.
And they still won 2 years in a row. And so he obviously has some kind of ability to be able to navigate. Even, I think we looked at it, I believe he lost the second to last game of the year in one of the years that he won. So, I mean, things happen at the end of the year. You're going to have losses. It's just how do you deal with it? And so I feel confident that we have a team that even though we haven't won the last 3 games, we've still had moments where we look like the best team in the conference. And I think that if WKU could just put 40 minutes together, they would be the best team in Conference USA. The issue is sometimes they can't or they haven't, and that's the weakness of this team is taking naps in the middle of games, and that's been the issue. Every single game, they can look back at some point, and it was at least 5 or 6 minutes of just foolishness. Not like, oh yeah, well they're missing shots or something. It's just like, what are we doing? So
yeah,
eliminate some of that, and I think sky's the limit. I have way more confidence in the guys. Even if they lose to Liberty, I still feel more confident that the guys can make a run. None of the men's teams are terrifying to play. Like, yeah, there's some good teams. Sam Houston has given us trouble. La Tech is very good. But I wouldn't be freaking out against any of the teams in Conference USA.
I kind of agree with that. I think Western has a very good shot. Depending on the path and how everything works out. And I know you talked about Coach Collins a little bit there, but it's kind of a flip side of a coin, because whereas the Lady Tops have had their struggles and issues, on the team, they have the big bad in their conference tournament with Middle, because Middle is the big bad wolf in this aspect. They are dominating teams. They are doing really, really well. Whereas in, the men's side of things, there's not really the big bad wolf. There's a lot of, this is a, if this is a Royal Rumble, Western has a chance. And honestly, like starting of basketball season, we had a lot of hype for basketball, and it's actually kind of lived up to it in a way. We've had hiccups, we've had speed bumps, but Western has, and Coach Lutz has gotten these guys to the point where they're doing really well. And I mean, it actually just makes me happy to see next season how everything's going to work out.
For sure. Yeah, I like the future.
I do too, 100%. Let me pull up so we can talk upcoming events here. Softball, baseball, basketball. Make sure I hit the right ones. Baseball, Basketball. Nope, that's an old one. There we go. Okay. So softball, like I said, they've got a series at New Mexico State, listed on 91.5 Crux. And then on the Varsity Network, there's Western versus EKU. And I think that one is at home, but I'll have to double check that.
Pretty sure it is.
Baseball wise, Western has a series against Milwaukee at home, and then next Tuesday they're going to be playing Austin Peay in Clarksville, Tennessee. You can listen to all of those on 102.7 ESPN Radio. The Lady Tops have Liberty Bibbity in the Diddle Arena, and so go up, show out for Lady Tops. If you're not able to go, watch on ESPN Plus. The support will help either way. And excuse me, finally, Saturday, the men are going to be playing. They're going to be at Liberty. That game is at 1 p.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. If you can go to Lynchburg, Virginia, great. Good on you. If you're a regular Joe like Matt and I who can't go to Liberty on the on a whim, you know, support Western that way and support them there. But next week, we're going to be talking Conference USA Tourney. We will be updating. I'll try to do a couple YouTube shorts or TikToks or something to talk about when who Western has and what all is going on there. But if you've made it this far in the episode, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. We appreciate all your support. And you know, share it on your socials or whatever. It helps us out. It helps you out because it just passes through the universe and helps somehow. So but
Good karma and vibes.
yes, good karma, good vibes. And it helps us out, and we appreciate it as always. This is a hobby podcast, so we appreciate our listeners and we appreciate each other. Thank you, Matt, for coming, even though you've been sick and
Yeah,
had a
hey
couple
man.
coughs.
Yeah, I tried to minimize it. Sorry, y'all, if you had to hear all that.
No, you're good. I didn't even notice it until towards the end. You're good, but it happens when you talk and you coughing and everything. You start getting hoarse, but no worries. But we will be back next week talking Conference USA Tourney. You know, and like I said, over the summer we'll be trying to do at least an episode a month to kind of keep people updated and stuff like that. So we appreciate
Hey,
you all. Go.
I do want to say one thing. Stay tuned into the towel rack this coming week. We will have four people down there in Huntsville trying to provide you as much as we can of the action. We will be broadcasting somewhere from Huntsville or on the road or something when we have the podcast next week. So I'm excited. It should be fun, and hopefully we have a reason to be there till Saturday. But we'll be down there and excited to bring y'all coverage. So stay tuned in to Red Out, Towel Rack, whatever, and we're going to bring you as much coverage as we can.
That sounds exciting. Don't get arrested. So,
You know, I mean, listen, I'm a passionate man. I'm a man of passion. And
I've heard.
legend has it.
Allegedly. Just remember, the term is allegedly. You
You know what? You know
allegedly.
what's sad is I do everything sober. Like everybody's like, "Oh, that guy's got to be on drugs," or "That guy's a drunk."
No. No,
Dude,
I know you. No, yeah.
it's
I
100%
remember
natural.
his Hilltopper hype is 100% natural. But yes, check back next week. We will be updating and doing all that good stuff. And you know, hopefully, like Matt said, we'll be going all the way to the Saturday on Conference USA Tourney and into March Madness. I'm excited. I can't
Oh
wait to
man.
see it. It'll be great. And then we're gonna have to get the towel rack to go to wherever we end up in March Madness. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll see. Maybe they'll give us press passes.
Oh, heck yeah. There you go. Sign up for them.
Go for
Get them
free.
now.
Yeah,
All right, guys. We appreciate you. Check back next week. Watch all the games and stuff on ESPN Plus if you can't make it. And as always, go Tops.
go Tops. Be liberty, liberty.
Appreciate you, bud.